Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Would you like to begin or do you want to wait?
I think we can begin.
Okay. We're in section 38 of Parashat Noach from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We're going to start at verse 307, and we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urkimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urkimu. Be'akta, L'shem, Yodhe, Bavate, B'Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kaminei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kaminehu. Vayahel Noach ish ha'adama, Vayita kerem, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yosei ha'adamar, Magan migan ha'eden, Itarkat unseh, Lahaka b'chadamar b'ara hawat v'akar la v'shatal la uhahu yoma tzavdat ibin d'nitzat la v'levin v'ya navin v'hawa sachit la Yeshate min hamra derave. And Noach began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with Rabbi Yossi's interpretation of this verse. One said the vine was thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and that Noach planted it in the ground. The other said it is written, and he planted, because the vine had already been in the ground, and Noah plucked it out from its place and replanted it elsewhere. It blossomed and gave fruit on the same day. And he squeezed the grapes, drank their wine, and got drunk. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I'm wondering why it's important for us to know Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi have a machloket about this vine.
And I was thinking, essentially, this is an important piece of information to know which sefirah they come from, that they're connected
mm-hmm.
to. Because that would explain the machloket. Because in one sense, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's coming out of Zerampin. It's coming out of
which
the Garden of Eden.
Okay, so that's okay.
Marco.
Represent the goal. Okay. Hi, Marco. Glad you're on.
Hello.
How are you, Marco?
Good, thank you.
We're discussing
I'm
verse 307 in section 38. So that's okay. You'll mute and hear us. But
okay.
If you have any questions, go ahead and unmute. So the what it's saying is, what is really the argument? The argument is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's coming from the Garden of Eden. So how did it get from the Garden of Eden into the physical world? That's one discussion. And Rabbi Yossi is saying it's coming from the... it's a miraculous event in that he transplanted it from what someplace else in the earth, but then it immediately becomes wine. So why is it needed that we think it in terms of immediacy as opposed to it could have gone through a process. He planted the vine in the, a year or two, it gave fruit, and he processed the wine. Why do we need to be exposed to this idea that it's a miraculous event?
Well, my first thought was, could this have been part of the tree from the garden? But then it says a vine, and a vine is different from a tree. And then I wondered if, since this was before the Torah was given, how you're not supposed to eat from the tree until after, like, the fourth year. And yet,
right.
This one, it's like it blossomed on, gave fruit on the same day, so...
There's a lot of unanswered questions is what we're finding out.
And probably since it's the first verse, that's kind of...
Yeah, it's an introductory verse.
Could he have brought some wine with him on the ark? Because I assume that's what we're talking about.
Yes, we're talking about Noah becoming drunk from wine, and we're the discussion, the verse basically reads that one person is saying that the vine came from the Garden of Eden, which would mean that it was on the ark, and the other is saying that it was transplanted from something on the earth, but in one miraculous it grew in place. It flowered and produced grapes, and then the grapes were processed into wine all in one day.
Okay.
And this is what the verse is essentially saying. And we've just been asking questions without answers here.
Okay.
Well, I know there's several stories about what was the tree that was, early on in my studies, I thought that because we say Kiddush over, our meals with the wine and so many of our holidays and Shabbat and all that, possibly that was tikkun or correction for eating from the tree. But then later, there were other stories about what was the fruit. Some said it was bread, and some said it was wheat, and maybe the fig.
Some say it's grapes.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you say, we're not supposed to eat the first 3 years, and then we're supposed to put the fourth year to a sacrifice. You're right. Mm-hmm. So let's go to verse 308 and see if we get any of the answers to our questions. Or we'll get to ask them.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I think probably.
I'm going to go mute.
Okay.
Okay. Rabbi Shimon Amar Raza Dehach Mata Ihu Haka Tahaikara Kadba'a Noach Lenivdak Tehahu Hova Devadak Adam Harishon Lav Leita Beka Be'a Ela demina ulat kana alma vela yakil sahat anavin lemat nivdak beharahu kerem kewan demata lehai veish ishkar vayid gal vela waleya he. Hey, Alameh Kam, Hugin kach vit gal gale piarcha bebe alma tahawasatin putuch bahalau kiti bahai viad kiti vialti grav el petach beta putuch Achala deha hukarin. Rabbi Shimon said that there is a sublime secret hidden in this passage. Noah had come to re-examine Adam's sin of the tree of knowledge so that he could refrain from repeating it and could make reparations in the world. But he was unable to accomplish this. However, because after squeezing the grapes so that he could examine them, he got drunk, was uncovered, and had no strength to get up. This is why the verse says, and was uncovered, meaning that he uncovered a gap in the world, which had been covered until that time. Within his tent is spelled with a final hey. The Hebrew word ohalo is spelled with a final hey. It is not spelled ohalo with a vav. Therefore it is written, and do not come near the door of her house. His tent indicating the vineyard's tent and not his own tent. For this reason it is spelled with a hey and not with a vav. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I just had a thought kind of based on what Malka said, because I remember stories about his wife, Naama, gathering herbs and seeds and bringing them on the ark. And if this verse is telling us that it looks like, you know, Noah was supposed to rectify Adam's sin, that possibly Naama had had her tikkun as part of it too. And it could very well be that she was the one that brought it on the ark. I'm not so sure I understand the difference between the hay and the vavs as to the meaning.
The meaning is whether it's coming from Zeranpin or it's coming from Malchut.
Okay.
And the Hebrew word is, let me see where it is.
Well, ohel is tent.
Right.
I believe,
so
in Hebrew.
It's either his tent or it's in the direction of the tent.
Mm-hmm.
The hay at the end of the word means in the direction of the tent, and the vav means it's his tent, whoever he is.
Well, when it's saying, and do not come near the door of her house, that's what made me think of Noah's wife and the stories relating to what she brought on, the ark.
Which is very possible. It's a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse is answering our question, it's answering the mechlochet between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, but it's not doing it directly. It's doing it in a very, a concealed way. Because Rabbi Shimon is saying that it, because of the vav, it's coming from the ark. It's coming from the Garden of Eden. He's answering the question, but
mm-hmm.
not saying it directly. He's giving this hint of the vav and the hay.
Well, and not only that, when it said he's come to reexamine Adam's sin of the tree of knowledge, which we know that took place in the garden, so that would also kind of give credence to that.
Yeah, but that's a commentary by Rabbi Ashlag. The tree of knowledge is a commentary from Rabbi Ashlag. So, you know, he's giving us a similar hint. But if it wasn't there, we'd still have the hint based on the Vav and the Hay.
Mm-hmm. And the idea of Adam's sin, even if they didn't mention, you know, even if Rabbi Ashlag didn't put the tree of knowledge there. I mean, they're associating Noah with Adam and with here's a plant, a tree, or a vine. And, you know, we see the similarities there. And a vineyard's tent. Do you think that that's meaning, you know, how some people make, what do they call them, hot houses for their plants? And I know most people, when they plant a vine, especially grapes, they have an arbor or something that it can vine up on. So I'm wondering if that was the intent there of the phrase vineyard's tents and not his own tent. Of course, that's Rabbi Ashlag's cap there of his own tent.
Right.
But since tent used in those, it's to the idea that there's a covering.
That is a nice thought as well. Let's go on to verse 3 and 9.
Okay.
Gavna da b'nei acharon v'kam inan shutu ye yayin hawo v'kiman yachiblon hamra v'hahu atar v'meishte is samech galib ויינון חציפים, הוו דירבו חמרה לב חכי. חכי אליו עדי, מההו חמרה, ראו דיקטיב, ויקריבו לפני השם. Eish zara kitiv haka, eish zara uktiv, patam visha marta marcha, meisha zera, wikolachad mila. The same thing happened with the sons of Aaron, who, as we have learned, were drunk, and he asked, who gave them wine to drink in such a place? Could you ever think that they were so impertinent as to get drunk? No, this cannot be so. But indeed they did drink from that certain type of wine and became drunk, as it is written, and they offered strange fire before Hashem. It says here a strange fire, the Hebrew word is esh, and elsewhere, that they may keep you from the strange women. The Hebrew word is Isha. And both verses apply to the same thing. Everything amounts to the same explanation. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So are they trying to tell us that wine is a metaphor for something, some other thing besides just drinking wine? Because we know all the different stories that are associated with the sons of Aaron, and you know that they didn't want to marry, that some say they wanted to, you know, do several things.
Those are different explanations for why they were in the they were bringing fire at an inappropriate time.
Right.
One explanation is their consciousness wasn't correct, because they were drunk. Another explanation is that they weren't a complete person because they weren't married. And all of the other explanations that we've heard. So it's not that it's saying wine is connected to all these other things. The explanations are these: each of these things are reason potentially why this happened to them. And here this verse is saying to us that it was because they were drunk, that if we were going to have a mechlochet over all those different explanations, this verse would be an explanation for that they were drunk and that's why that it was considered strange fire. But it's also saying or hinting at, because it's answering, you know, it's asking the question, who would give them wine in such a holy place? So that it's saying to us, wine relates to the left column, as we know. So it's saying that we need to be careful with wine. We need to recognize it and utilize it to make things holy, because it's coming from the spiritual level of the left column, not the physical level. That's what the verse is hinting at.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Marco.
We talk a lot about wine, but really and truly the oil from the olives was more sanctified, I thought, than the wine, because of the oil that is basically used for the temple, the purest used for the temple. But then, you know, there's a lot of biblical scriptures that say we talk a lot about the wine. So I'm trying to find out what's, I mean, I understand some significance of the wine, but maybe I don't truly know the difference between the two. The olive oil, I mean, the oil.
That is the answer, not only to your question, but to this discussion. Because you have two liquids. One is wine and one is oil. And typically the oil is pressed from the olives. But they're both liquid. One is right column and one is left column. The Zohar has said that in many places. But even if the Zohar didn't tell us that, the color of the material, the color of the liquid, would tell you where it's coming from. Olive oil will tend to be blue or yellow, but essentially it's clear. It's oil. It's a whitish color. And white represents right column sharing. Wine, we typically think of as red, meaning that it is the desire to receive. It's the left column.
Okay.
And that's what's wrong with bringing wine into the Holy of Holies, so to speak? Because the Holy of Holies is connected to the right column. Connected to Chachma, to wisdom. The wine is connected to the left column, to Bina. And it shouldn't, by bringing it into the Holy of Holies, when it isn't appropriate, when the mating isn't supposed to take place, that's what created the problem.
Okay, so
with that said, then Aaron's two sons did not drink the wine in the proper place, proper time. So
the proper time nor the proper place.
Right. So it's not that it wasn't wrong that they drank the wine, it's just that they did not drink it in the proper place at the right time.
Correct.
So it's bringing the left side into...
It's also, it may be that wine should never be in the Holy of Holies, because wine is always connected to the left column. And maybe the left column should never be in that location.
True.
That the high priest represents the vessel, and Hashem represents the light, and that union is only capable of being achieved at Yom Kippur. So it always falls back to the four levels. It falls back to the right time, the right place, the right consciousness, and the right action.
But
so bringing wine into the Holy of Holies, there should never be a time that it's brought into the Holy of Holies.
Right. But we here, physical world, we do emphasize the drinking of the wine, Sabbath, Kiddush. So, and that's why I asked the question earlier. If the wine is for the left side and the oil is for the right side, the olive oil, we here in the physical world, we actually use a lot of the wine ceremonies.
Yes, we do. And why do we do that? What is the purpose of the Kiddush?
Because we're in the
manifestation of the light that you revealed from your prayer. We don't do Kiddush without praying first.
Okay. So, what?
Now, in the Reform movements, they don't follow that so strictly. But in the Orthodox and even in the Conservative, they never do Kiddush without prayer. During prayer, you're making connection. Go ahead and finish your question.
So in saying the prayer before you drink of the wine, does that bring it into the balance, about like the Tiferet, the middle column? Does that bring it into that?
It brings it into a level, a lower level. It's taking it into our physical world by saying the Kiddush after we pray. When we pray, we elevate into the spiritual. But we've revealed the light in the spiritual. How do we bring it into the physical? It takes a desire to receive in order to share, to bring it into the physical. And that's the purpose of the wine. It represents a desire to receive. By its color being red, it's representing a desire to receive, drawing the light that we revealed in the prayer into the physical world. By drinking the wine, we are manifesting the revelation of light into the physical world.
Well, why not?
We're out
drink
of time, so why not? What
is that also why we add a little bit of water to the wine?
We add a little bit of water because you always have to have some aspect of chesed.
Mm-hmm.
To minimize the desire to receive for oneself alone, to bring it over to the right side of the left column.
I would think that we should be dipping. Okay.
We're out of time, so we can continue this conversation tomorrow, or since it's questions and answers tonight, we can do it then. So
okay.
I'll see you at the 7 o'clock class.
All right, thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.